Good morning and welcome to First Presbyterian Church on this beautiful Lord's Day. Good to see everyone here. And just a few announcements before we begin worship today. If you'll notice in your bulletin, please let Azalea or Kenny know if you would like to get a poinsettia this year. We'll have them in the sanctuary just on December 23rd. And then please note that the handbell choir will be performing on Tuesday at noon at the Methodist Church here in town. That's always a wonderful performance. We have a few of the ringers here in our congregation, so let's go support them. On Thursday this week, we'll have Bible study at the stairs. That's always a lot of fun. Got room for more if anybody would like to come. Now, Wednesday is going to be a busy day. We have our prayer breakfast in the morning at 6:30. Gary's giving me the thumbs up, so that means he's ready to cook some squirrel for us. And then, I don't know what it'll be. It'll be good. Y'all come. That'll be at 6:30 in the morning, and then choir practice on Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. Oh, and just a reminder, we are live streaming the sermon and scripture portion of the worship service on Facebook, so if you wouldn't mind putting your phones or tablets or whatever electronic gizmos you have on airplane mode, that helps the process to go more smoothly. And let's be called to worship now with these words. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Let's stand to sing our God's praise. Let us pray. Our Lord, we stand today in awe of you. We don't understand how Jesus could be fully God and yet fully man at the same time. And we certainly don't understand why you would be willing to send your only Son into a messed up world like this to save unworthy, ungrateful sinners like us. No, we don't understand your wisdom or your power or your love, but we thank you. And we thank you that you've been so gracious to bless us. And we ask that you would help us to respond to your grace in the way that you deserve, by loving you with all we are and all we have. For we come before you as your children, forgiven and freed by your grace, and offering the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. And if you would, take up your Pew Bibles. Our responsive reading today comes from Genesis chapter 3. Or if you have your own King James Version, you can open that. Genesis chapter 3. We'll begin with verse 6. So I will read the even-numbered verses beginning with verse 6 and ask the congregation to respond with the odd-numbered verses ending in verse 15. So we'll read Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, through verse 15. Let's read God's word responsibly. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat.
And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together
heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself.
And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof man commanded thee that thou shalt not eat?
And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. God's plan to redeem us and to solve the problem of our sin goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Let's celebrate how God sent his Son to save us. As we open our hymnals, we'll turn to selection 103. O come, all ye faithful. We'll sing all four stanzas and let us stand to sing.
Oh,
We have sung our Lord's praise. Let us now say what we believe about him using the words of the Apostles' Creed. And they're found inside the front cover of your hymnal. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
You may be seated. And we do have time for the children today. Looks like we've got at least one. So if you'll come on down. Yeah. Got my microphone. I can play Phil Donahue. Some of you all know who that is. He never had to drag a cord around, though. He had a nifty mic. Hi, how are you this morning? What's our season we're celebrating this time of year? Nah, sorry, wrong answer. It's my birthday coming up. Now, your daddy has a birthday coming up too, right? Yeah, and your Uncle Marsh. Wow, birthday season. Okay, you have birthday too though, right? When's your birthday?
July.
Oh, you get to have a swimming party for your birthday. That's awesome. Okay. Now, do your folks throw you a birthday party every year? Did you have a pony? No pony? Okay. All right, so what if a person walking down the street, just some random person on the sidewalk said, I'm going to throw you a birthday party with cake and ice cream.
She's laughing already.
You wouldn't believe them, would you? Okay. What if your school teacher came and said, I'm going to come to your house and throw you a big birthday party. Would you believe her? She's looking kind of skeptical. All right. What if your mom and dad said they were going to throw you a birthday party? Would you believe them? Oh, yeah. Okay. Why? Why do you believe your parents when you didn't believe your teacher or that random person on the street? Could it be because they've thrown a birthday party for you in the past, even if it didn't have a pony? Yeah. So you trust them to do something because they've done it before and because they're trustworthy. They've kept their promises. And that's the reason we trust God too. We trust God because he's made promises to us and because we know we can trust him. So let's have a prayer. Lord, thank you so much that you have given us the most amazing present in Jesus Christ. And we celebrate his birthday during this season of the year. We thank you, O Lord, that we can trust you. That no matter what you say, we know that you're going to keep your promise. And we thank you for that. And we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Thank you. And I hope you have fun at your daddy's birthday party. All right. Let's continue our worship as we turn in our hymnals now to selection 107. 107, as we remember, this really is the season where we celebrate Jesus' birthday. Hymn 107. We'll sing all three stanzas, and let us stand to sing. may be seated. As we go to the Lord in prayer, let us remember that God has given us His best. He has given us His Son. So how can we doubt that He will give us everything else that we need? Let us pray. Our Lord and our God, we do thank You that You are a faithful God. We thank You that You always keep Your promises. And we thank You for the greatest promise that You kept, the promise that long ago the prophets knew would happen and told us would happen, and then happened when Jesus came into this world. Lord, we thank You that You sent Jesus to solve the sin problem that Adam and Eve started out and that we have continued. The problem of pulling away from You, the problem of pulling away from one another. Lord, we have to confess that we are in great need of that solution that You have provided. We are in great need of a Savior, Lord, for we are sinners. It is so much easier for us to focus on what we want. It's so easy for us, Lord, to use people or objects in a way that we think will meet our needs, regardless of what it does to others. It's so easy, Lord, for us to focus on the gifts that You've given us, even good things, and to forget You or neglect You. But we thank You, Lord, that You came to us, that You didn't wait for us to get ready, but You came crashing into our world in the person of Christ. And we thank You that You continue to do that, that You continue to show Yourself to those who don't yet see You, to open the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, to see and hear the truth and the love of Jesus Christ. And so we would pray, O Lord, this day for those who do not yet know You as Lord and Savior. Lord, there are many this season of the year who will be confronted in one way or another by the amazing truth of the claims of Christ. Maybe they'll see a television special or maybe hear a Christmas carol on the radio. Or maybe they'll just go to church with someone because it's the thing to do this time of year. But Lord, we would be bold to pray that You would use even these incidental contacts with the gospel to open the eyes of those who need to see Christ for the first time. And open their ears, Lord, to hear the message of His love, His grace, and His truth. But Lord, we would be bold to pray that You would allow us to be agents of this grace as well. As we engage in all the busyness of this season, help us, Lord, to be angels in the sense that that word means messengers, to be messengers of Your grace, messengers of Your love. Lord, show us opportunities to share Christ with those around us, to bring a word of comfort to those who are lonely, to bring a word of help to those who are in need. And help us, Lord, to help not just with our words, but with our deeds. To visit those who are shut in. To bring help to those who need help this time of year. Oh, Lord, we ask that You would be with us and bless us that we might be a blessing to others. Even as Jesus came into our world to bless us so greatly. For we offer this prayer in His name and for His sake. Amen. In this season of the year, we celebrate that God has given us His best. He's given us His Son. Let us respond to God's gracious gift as we give unto the Lord His tithes and our offerings. Let us pray. Lord, we don't claim to understand your will or your word in every way, but help us to follow and to believe what we do understand. Lord, we haven't given you everything the way you've given to us, but help us to give what we can. And we pray that you would take these gifts as tokens of our love. And Lord, we would be bold to pray that you would even use us. Even as we offer our gifts, that you would take us, all that we are, all that we have, and use us for your glory. For we pray this in the name of the one who gave up everything for us, even our Lord Jesus. Amen. We continue our study of Luke's gospel, the story that Luke tells about how Christ came into the world. And today we get to the part of the story that explains how Mary learned that she was going to be part of God's amazing plan. We turn to chapter 1 of Luke's gospel. We'll read the verses 26 through 38. And this is the word of the Lord. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Thus far God's word. May he add his blessing to us as we meditate on this seemingly simple story. But why is it so hard for some people to accept? Back in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, Bible scholars hotly debated the truth of these verses. Some appealed to scientific knowledge and said the story of the virgin birth was simply unbelievable. They said this was just a myth, a legend like those that have grown up around George Washington and Davy Crockett and Daniel Boone. Others responded that the virgin birth was no more difficult to believe than was the fact that God created the earth or the fact that Jesus rose from the dead. These scholars insisted that all of Jesus' miracles were true and said that those who would deny the miraculous stories contained in the Bible had in effect denied the Christian faith. And on the debate went and continues to this day. But of course, there was one person who had no reason to debate any of this. One person who knew with every fiber of her being that the virgin birth was no myth. One person for whom the fact of the virgin birth was as undeniable as the existence of gravity. And that person was Mary. Now, it wasn't true at first. When Gabriel spoke to her in today's passage, Mary did indeed have to exercise what we usually understand faith to be. She had to express mental assent to the truth of a particular idea. When Gabriel spoke to her, Mary had to accept the truth of his message that although she was a virgin, she would in fact bear a son. And she did exercise that kind of faith, that intellectual assent. She did believe what Gabriel said was true. And in this way, she does stand in marked contrast to Zechariah, who, as we learned last week, in the first part of this chapter, Zechariah refused to believe that he and his wife Elizabeth could have a child in their old age. Later on in this chapter, it's recorded that when Mary went to see Elizabeth, Elizabeth commended Mary for believing what the Lord had told her. So Mary did believe what the angel said with her mind. But as the days wound on, Mary would need this sort of faith no longer. After all, she knew from experience that she had never been with a man. But as the days turned into months, she could not deny that she had, in fact, become pregnant. She would no longer need that kind of intellectual faith. So what is this faith for which we celebrate Mary? Aside from just assenting to the truth of these amazing facts, Mary was faithful in a more important sense. She was faithful in the sense that she trusted God. And if the fact of the virgin birth was eventually impossible for her to deny, the situation into which this fact placed her was hard. Mary's trust in God would not come easily. Why? Why would having a miracle baby be so hard? Well, the whole thing was pretty scary, right? I mean, after all, it's unlikely that Mary was much more than a girl. Until modern times, it was customary for girls to marry soon after they became physically able to bear children. Some of you may remember in your own family history, your great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents, many of them married the girls when they were in their mid-teens. So we can imagine Mary was about 15 years old. No wonder she was so troubled. No wonder she was so frightened when the angel appeared to her and said anything at all. But even if she had been 25, or even if she had been 35, the news that Gabriel brought to her would still have been frightening because it was bewildering. I mean, there's just no rational way to understand what he was saying. It just doesn't make sense for a virgin to be able to have a child. And don't we all tend to be afraid of what we cannot understand? Oh, and what about all that stuff about the child being the Son of God that Gabriel just mentions offhand? I mean, Christians have been arguing about that, about the nature and the meaning of the incarnation for years, 2,000 years. How is Mary supposed to understand all that deep theology on the spur of the moment? What we don't understand, we tend to fear. But even more frightening for Mary were the social problems that she understood all too well, the social problems that would necessarily follow from Gabriel's news. I mean, it was hard enough for her to believe. Who else would believe her story? No, I didn't have relations with a man. Yes, I am pregnant. Anybody going to buy that? What would Joseph say? He could have decided to break off the marriage. According to the law of Moses, he could have had Mary stoned as an adulteress. What would her father say? Would he believe her? He could have disowned her for bringing ill repute on the family. Because of what Gabriel said to her, Mary could easily have imagined herself becoming an outcast, hated by everyone she had loved. Oh, she had good reason to be afraid of this news. And yet, even though she was afraid, even though she was terribly confused, even though she knew that obedience to God might cost her everything she had, she trusted God. She completely submitted to God's will. She called herself not queen of heaven, but the maidservant, the slave of God. Mary's single-minded, selfless devotion to God, that's a miracle. And given the natural, sinful state of mankind, you might say it was an even bigger miracle than the virgin birth. So yes, we have a lot to learn from Mary. Because if we're honest with ourselves, we will admit that her situation is not so different from our own. Oh, I know, God isn't asking any of us to play such a prominent role in his plan to redeem the human race. I doubt that any of our names will be on the lips of Christians 2,000 years from now. But isn't it easy for us to sympathize with Mary when we look at the things in our life that trouble us? I mean, don't we all know what it's like to be afraid? Don't we all know what it's like to be confused? Aren't there a lot of things in our lives that just don't make sense? Think about God's commandments, for example. Some of the things God's told us. I mean, does it really make sense for God to care so much if I use his name kind of casually every now and then? Or why shouldn't I tell a lie if it'll make somebody else feel good? Or do I really have to love my enemies? Or why should I keep my marriage vows if I'm not getting the emotional support I need? Or do I really need to take a whole day off every week to worship God? Does any of this stuff really make sense? Well, what would Mary tell us? What would her experience tell us? It doesn't have to make sense. We're just called to submit to God's will. Or maybe some of God's providences, maybe some of the circumstances in your life just don't make sense to you. Why did I lose that job? Why did my husband or my wife walk out on me? Why do I or my loved ones have to go through chronic pain or illness? Why do the ones I care about so much have to die? Well, what would Mary tell us? What would her experience tell us? It doesn't have to make sense to us. It's God's plan, not ours. We just have to follow him, no matter what happens. Is there anything in your life that's frightening today? Do the events of your life seem to be racing out of control? Do you feel overwhelmed when you think about the future? Are you wondering how you're ever going to manage to get everything done and fulfill all of your responsibilities? Are you afraid to reach out because you've been hurt before. What would Mary say? What would her experience tell us? Don't worry. Don't be afraid. God knows what He's doing, even if it doesn't make sense. Trust Him. Or maybe God is calling you to take a risk. Maybe He's calling you outside of your comfort zone. Maybe He's calling you to witness to a friend. Maybe He's calling you to apologize to someone you've hurt. Maybe He's calling you to take the initiative to heal a broken relationship when somebody hurts you. Maybe He's calling you to make a job change or to open yourself up or to get more involved in the lives of others. Maybe you're afraid to change. Maybe you're afraid to pursue holiness because you're afraid your friends might call you weird or a fanatic. What would Mary say? What does her experience tell us? That we should give up all we are and all we have to our Lord and serve Him and give Him our best, no matter the cost. We have a lot to learn from Mary, that little 15-year-old girl, don't we? Well, that's all very well and good, preacher. It's okay for people like Mary to say stuff like that. I mean, she was a giant of the faith. I wish I could be like her, but I'm not. I don't have that kind of faith. I'm not strong enough. And maybe that's the comfort we take sometimes when we look at these stories of people like Mary in the Bible. But if we're focusing on Mary and if we're focusing on her faith, we haven't heard what she's trying to tell us. For remember, the important kind of faith that she had was not an intellectual assent to some truth. It was the trust she had in God. And trust, by definition, is focused not on the self, but on the one who is trusted. Faith, trust, is always focused on the one who is trustworthy. In other words, Mary's experience, and Mary is telling us not to be in awe of her faith. She's telling us to be in awe of her God. For if our situations are somewhat similar to Mary's, our God is exactly the same. So what do we learn about our God from this passage? Well, perhaps it's not so obvious, but the first thing we learn is that our God keeps His promises. Of course, in the birth of Jesus Christ, God kept His promise to David that one of His descendants would reign on His throne. Gabriel mentions that. But there's a much older promise of God that the birth of Christ kept, a promise that comes from our responsive reading this morning. All the way back in Genesis chapter 3, all the way back, right after the time that Adam and Eve sinned against God, God made a promise. God promised that the seed of the woman would one day bruise or crush the head of the serpent. And God has kept that promise in Jesus Christ, who was born to a woman, not to a man. The one who would destroy the power of sin and death for all who trust in Him. God is faithful. And that brings us to the second thing we learn about God. For if He is faithful, He is also our Savior. He's our Savior. His very name is Jesus, which means Yahweh is our salvation. But if the prophecy God gave to Adam and Eve so many years ago pointed to Jesus as the one who would destroy the results of their sin, it also pointed to the way He would do that. For Jesus would be the one, yes, who would bruise, who would crush the head of the serpent, but only at great cost. The serpent would bruise or crush His heel. Jesus would destroy the power of Satan, but would Himself die in the process. God is faithful, and God is our Savior. But He is also our Lord and our King. Jesus came to fulfill the reason for which Adam was created. Jesus came to rule and to reign over all the earth forever. Gabriel said that Jesus would reign on the throne of David over the house of Jacob, but Jesus' kingdom, would be much vaster than David's. Jesus' reign would be much longer than David's. In fact, Gabriel said Jesus' kingdom would never end. And it is because of that that we know of His mighty power. His power. Gabriel said that although Jesus would be born of Mary, He would also be born of the power of the Holy Spirit. That somehow Jesus would thus be the Son of the Highest. He would be the Son of God. As we sang this morning, He would be very God, truly God, begotten of the Father, not created. And yet He is fully man at the same time, a baby laid in a manger. None of this makes sense to us. But Gabriel tells us that in His mighty power, God is not bound by what makes sense to us. Nothing is impossible for God. And so, even in the midst of all of our confusion, even in the midst of all of our problems, even when nothing makes sense, shouldn't this be reason enough for us to trust God the way Mary did? God is faithful. Do you think He will ever go back on His promise to welcome you and to love you and to protect you? God is our Savior. If He would send His only Son into the world to die for us, how can we doubt that He will meet all our other needs? God is our King. Is there any problem we have that is somehow outside of His jurisdiction? And God is mighty. If Jesus can be the Son of God and the Son of Mary at the same time, could there be any of our problems too difficult for Him to solve? Could there be anything too hard for Him? Even that stuff we're so scared of. Even those things that don't make sense. But this story gives us one more truth about God, one more reason to trust God the way Mary did. For here we also learn that ours is a God of love, and ours is a God of grace. Ours is a God who brings life into a virgin's womb. Ours is a God who brings powerful, selfless faith into a young girl's heart. Surely, such a God is not just able to calm our fears and soothe our hurts and wipe away the tears from our eyes. Surely, He's not just able to do all those things. Surely, He is also willing to come into our lives just as He came into Mary's life. Willing to fill our hearts with His Spirit of life and love, His Spirit of joy and peace. Surely this God is worthy of our trust. Yes, trusting God may involve some risk. It certainly did for Mary. Trusting God may mean giving up some things. It certainly did for Mary. Trusting God, it's not always going to make sense for us. It certainly didn't for Mary. But knowing God as we know Him, knowing His faithfulness, knowing His forgiveness, knowing His majesty, His might, and His mercy, surely, knowing this God, can we doubt that following Him, that surrendering our lives to Him, as Mary did, can we doubt He will also bring us great blessings? No, we don't understand it. But we can sing about it. and we can trust him. Let's do that. Let's take up our hymnals. We'll turn to selection 105 as we wonder along with Mary, what could this child be? How could this be? And then as we trust in the Lord to keep his promises. We'll sing all three stanzas of hymn 105 and let us stand to sing. It doesn't have to make sense, but we can trust God no matter what happens this week. And now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.